Pray with me and for me. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There is so much more going on today than the fact that we remember the most important event in the history of the Christian faith. And what we remember and gather to reflect on as believers is significant even for those who don't believe, because in the resurrection of Jesus, this is an event that changes all of creation. But we'll get back to that. I want to first help us connect with the events in our own lives and the way that we walk, that maybe we might get back to some of these events of the first Easter and see how that might relate to us. So today's April 1st. What is that? April Fool's Day. Today's April Fool's Day. That's a day typically for some good-natured joking between friends, but even more than that, today is Easter, which we know is a big family holiday. And so you don't need to have any particular belief. There will be people who have little or no faith in Jesus or any affection for the resurrection who will be made by someone in their life to dress up in stuffy clothes and go out to eat somewhere, or maybe they'll have a big family gathering. And so there's all kinds of things going on today beyond just this remembrance of the resurrection. Preachers and church musicians aren't the only ones who are extra busy. Grandmas and restaurant staff, there's a lot of people who have a lot going on today. And it's in that busyness that we often see family memories made. And so I want us to think a little bit about what makes family life memorable. Well, if you're a parent or a grandparent, you probably think or hope that it's that perfect event, you know, the meal that's cooked just the right way with everybody there and behaving, or that vacation that you've spent so much money on, that's going to be what makes the memories in life. But I had this realization not so long ago. I got to thinking about the things that when me and my three sisters get together that we most often talk about in, guess what? We don't tend to reminisce about the perfect holiday that we had when we were kids, or that amazing vacation that we went on together. No, when we're together, we most often will find ourselves busting on each other about all the dumb and stressful things that happened when we were younger, things that made, you know, mom and dad want to pull their hair out at different times. These are the kinds of memories that we share when we are together. I've tried to start lightening the mood and taking a little pressure off me as a parent, and when things go kind of drastically outside my plan and they're utterly failing in front of me, I like to remind myself, the kids will talk about this at the Thanksgiving table in 20 years, and those will be the memories they make. Now, I give you permission to go home and burn the roast today and serve them SpaghettiOs. They'll remember that. Real life, with all its stress and confusion and uncertainty, is often far more memorable than the lives that we try to make when we're hoping to craft memories in our own lives and in our families. All right, great. That's a point that I understand, but you know, Pastor Matthew, this is the time that we've given for spirituality, and so what does any of this have to do with the resurrection of Jesus as we make this room on Easter to be here and to be in worship together? Well, it seems that there have been folks since the very beginning, since that day of the resurrection, who have believed this whole Jesus rising from the dead thing was all a bunch of made-up nonsense. And throughout history, right up till today, plenty of folks have said, this is just all garbage. There's no way this can be true. And maybe the real April Fool's Day joke is that the disciples did go and find the dead body of Jesus hide it somewhere, and make this whole story up. But here's the thing about that. If you were going to create events to start a religion and manipulate them into one of the top two holidays that your religion would celebrate, would you make up a story that looks anything like what we have in the Gospels that tell us about that first Easter? The chaos, confusion, despair, the way that the disciples act towards each other, that sounds a lot more like the stories that get shared around the holiday table with your grown-up siblings than it does the perfect family pictures that are in a box somewhere up in the attic. If they made this stuff up, why didn't they polish it up to make themselves look better? I know that if in 20 years the kids allow me to tell the stories from my perspective, I'm going to look a lot better than how it actually was and how they're likely to tell the stories. These accounts of this first Easter reek of authenticity for the way that they have this honesty about all they were wrestling with and struggling with in those days. Jesus had left them with these loving words of preparation. He told them that he would be killed, and on the third day, he would rise again. But it seems that warning and that preparation didn't really have much impact that first Easter morning. Even some of the angels that interact with our characters try to remind them of that. When they're looking for Jesus, the angels say, "He is risen just as he said." But what do we find? We see the men are hiding and crying. The women are a little better. They're crying, but at least they're going to work. But what are they going to work to do? Well, they're going to the tomb to find his dead body that they might prepare it to be buried until it rotted and passed away. Nobody in this story is eagerly awaiting the resurrection that Jesus promised them was going to happen. Even after the body comes up missing, nobody goes, "Oh, that's right, we forgot. He said he was going to rise again. I bet he's just hanging out somewhere." No, they're worried about who stole the body. So what do we see in their emotions and in their interactions? Well, we see these women, as we've read about in Mark 16, they're seized by terror, so much so that they have a hard time telling anybody about what has happened, even after they're again told that Jesus had risen. When they do tell the disciples, well, that's not received all that well, because we read in Luke's gospel that this is what the disciples say in reaction. They say, "But these words seem to be them like idle tales, and they did not believe them." So even when they're given testimony, again, about what Jesus had promised would happen, they're calling each other liars. Peter, we're told, goes out to check on this, and he's just so confused and so full of despair that we're told he just goes home after he sees the empty tomb. Jesus has to start being with them in person. For some, he has to show them the scars and offer to let them touch it before the resurrection begins to sink in for them. If this is made up, who in their right mind is going to fabricate this sort of chaos in pain? This seems to be the real reaction of actual people who find themselves in the midst of hurt, in grief, at the loss of the most important person in their life, their teacher, their friend. It isn't going to be just the mishaps of this day that keep those we read about laughing at themselves and smiling for years to come as they tell about those days. But it's also the joy that will be on their hearts, because as this begins to sink in, it sinks in significant ways. April Fool's Day actually only traces back to medieval times, but maybe Jesus knew that some Easter mornings would fall on this day in the future, because what he's doing in the resurrection is one of the best pranks of all time. This resurrection is an amazing joke, even in the midst of it being real. It isn't just the followers of Jesus who believe Jesus was done for it and weren't thinking that he might be alive again. Death, the devil, the forces of evil, all of the bad powers of this world, they thought at the death of Jesus they had won. Scripture doesn't tell us a lot about what was going on when Jesus was in the tomb before he rose again, but we do know that the result is that he now holds the keys to hell and death. The powers of evil are gloating over what they thought was their victory, only to find that Christ rises and takes away their power. All right, so Jesus takes away the power of hell and death. He begins to do this work that will eventually make all bad come untrue. But what about our day-to-day lives? What about the things that we walk through? What about the hurt, the loss, the confusion that we experience, whether that's just from the hard things in life or the death of a loved one or the ways that we have to face our own mortality? Well, the Apostle Paul, who is helping these early Christians, those who believed in the decades after Jesus' life, as he helps them try to put these things together and what does this actually mean for us, he writes to the Christians in Corinth, and he likens our physical bodies to seeds that, as we die, nourished by the victory of Jesus, that not only do we not really die, but that we're able to blossom into something more glorious than we can imagine. And so as he's telling the Corinthians this in 1 Corinthians 15, he wraps his thoughts up about that by saying this: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' defeat of death changes everything. His love leads the way in the events that led up to that first Easter, and the events that we read about as the disciples begin to hear and to interact with this truth that Jesus was not in the grave. And not only does the resurrection give us hope in order to face the death of our physical bodies, but this verse we just read from Paul tells us Jesus' victory is also over sin. And so that's not just a future reality, but that's for us today. So if Jesus won the victory over sin, how is it that we let ourselves get so limited by the brokenness that surrounds us in our lives? Didn't Jesus give us the power to overcome all things in his name? Scripture promises that it was for freedom that Christ to set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the burden of slavery. What tombs are keeping you inside? What places in your life is Jesus calling forth resurrection? He has won the victory. He has won the victory for you. Don't let the joke be on you this April Fool's. Don't let sin and brokenness hold you back when Jesus is looking to release you and has already opened the tomb for you. The stone has been rolled away. So let's stop wondering when our help is coming, because Jesus is here with us. He's calling us forth to life from those places of death that are holding us back, not just so we can be with Him in eternity, but so we could be with Him today. Jesus overcame death to make sure that He would always be able to be with us. So what's holding us back from wanting to be with Him? Let us let Him bring resurrection to those places in our life. Let's try this one more time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Then let's live like it. Let the love of Christ lead the way into victory in this life and for eternity. Amen.